thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Morning, church. Happy New Year. A new number in the calendar. New ideas. New things we think we'll achieve, and then we'll look back. We didn't do it last year, but we'll try again this year. The title of my message today is Staying Faithful When Under Pressure. Life throws a lot of stuff at us. It can be family, it can be finance, it could be our children. Could be a spiritual walk. Somebody annoys you one day and you think about it for 2 weeks after it. That's the way life is. But today, we'll be looking at a young girl who stayed faithful when she was under pressure. And we will be looking today in the book of Esther. You'll find the book of Esther, it's in the 17th book of the Old Testament. It's tucked in between Nehemiah and Job. Esther was a young girl who came from a very little beginnings. And we're going to find out today how this young girl stayed faithful when she was under pressure. And there's times in her own life that we've got to stay faithful when we're under pressure. The book of Esther could be read historically. Like any other book, it could be read prophetically. Today, we're going to read the story. And we're going to be in and out of the chapters from 1 to 8. And we're going to have a look at what we can learn from this girl's life and how we can apply it to your own life. If you want to follow on, we're in Esther chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. I like to read God's word. I like to hear it been spoken to the building. The power that's in the word of God when it's spoken, God confirms it by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, who reigned from India even on to Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. That in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was on Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign he made a feast unto all the princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media. The nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, the honour of his excellent majesty, many days, even 84 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto the great and small, 7 days. In the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white and green and blue hangings fastened with cords and fine linen, and purple to silver rings and pillars of marbles. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and the royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law, none did compel. For so did the king appoint it to all officers of the house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. And the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehaman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Agbatha, Sether, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king,
with the crown roll to show the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him.
This just sets the story, sets what happens. This king, he knew how to throw a party. Wasn't a one there. He knew how to throw a party. Something happened, and the king that day was, he asked for some person to do something, and that never happened to him before. They broke the command. He asked Vashti to come and show how beautiful she was to all his visitors. He ain't doing this. Vashti was found in another part of the palace having a day out with the girls. And she says, I'm not coming. The king was really maybe astonished. Why did this happen? And then he consults all the wise men that's his advisors. What should we do? Their question was, see if you don't do something about it now, all our wives will tell us how to live. And that's more or less what they were saying. What you need to do is remove her and find yourself a new queen. Wouldn't work in today's terms, but it was the way it was in those days. The king himself, he was annoyed. He loved Vashti. She was part of his life. She was the queen. But he had to show power, no mercy, and remove Vashti from the palace. The wise men then, they come up with a great idea. What you need to do is, you need to have a beauty contest all over the province and find yourself a new wife. And the king thought, that'll be a good idea. I think we'll run with that. So here we were. Just imagine the excitement throughout all the province. All these young girls being asked to come to the palace to present themselves before the king and maybe become the queen. As things took place, all these girls all landed at the palace. What would have gone through their minds and their hearts? Why would I ever be here? But this is the king's request. And we're moving over now to chapter 2, where we'll be flicking through the chapters. Verse 1. But after King Ahasuerus' anger had cooled, he began brooding over the loss of Vashti, realizing he would never see her again. And there we get it. His aides go. Go and find a beautiful girl in the empire. So what they done was, they sent all the agents out throughout the province and sent word to all these girls to enter the contest. In Esther chapter 2, verse 5, one of my favourite characters shows up. Mordecai. Mordecai, he was a Jew. And he was captured when Jerusalem was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. And this man had a beautiful young daughter who he adopted. She was actually his cousin. And he adopted her and brought her in to his family. Mordecai adopting Esther as a beautiful picture of God adopting us spiritually into the family of God. First of all, When Mordecai adopts Esther, he changed the place where she lived. He gave her a new identity, and he gave her a purpose for living. When we get spiritually adopted into the family of God, we have a new identity, and we have a purpose to live by living for the living God, the Holy One of Israel. And there will be one or two of those in this story today. Every time I read this story, I see different things. I wouldn't have time to do them all today, but God always applies them to my heart when I'm reading this. Chapter 2, verse 8, we're moving on. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, when many maidens gathered together in Shushan Palace, the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. Esther steps into this room. It's beautiful to look at. But she also carried herself well. She was nice inside as she was outside. And she found favor. She found favor with Haggai. This is a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit taking us to the king when we're worshiping. First of all, Haggai knew what the king's needs were. He found favor and advised Esther what she should do, how she should present herself and be the best she could when she gets to the king. What a picture of the Holy Spirit sanctifying you and me, and it sets us apart from anything else when we come to worship the King of Kings. Haggai, he done his best to take Esther before the king. When we read in Esther 2, 12, 13, 14 and 15, you'll read that all the maidens had their time to visit the king. Verse 17, it was Esther. And the word says, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in the sight, more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king made a great feast unto all the princes and his servants on Esther's feast. And he made the release to the provinces and gifts according to the state of the king. Everything was going well. But there's something changes in chapter 3. A new prime minister was installed and he hated Mordecai. He hated Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow down to him. Mordecai was a Jew and he'd only bow to one God, the living God. And this used to annoy Haman. It angered him every day. It's all he talked about. He didn't even know Mordecai, didn't respect him till one of his friends told him. So just imagine if I was standing here now and I asked you all to bow because I was standing here, you would see the one that wouldn't bow every time you come to speak. You see, every time Haman addressed the crowd and everybody was bowed down, Mordecai was standing. I ain't bowing. And it used to annoy him every day to the state that he decided to go to the king. And he says, King, there's people living in your province. They're not like you. They're not like us. They don't do the things that you and I do. What we should do is we should wipe them out, clean the province up. King buys into it. Buys into it. This was catastrophic for Mordecai. When we get to chapter 4, you will read, when Mordecai learned which had been done, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city crying with a loud, bitter wail. Then he stood outside the gate of the palace, for no one was permitted to enter in mourning clothes. And throughout this whole province, the word was put out between India and Ethiopia that anybody that was born a Jew was going to be killed. Esther then finds out that Mordecai is standing at the palace gates in sackcloth and ashes and mourning. What's happened? Go and find out what's wrong with Mordecai. Why is he doing this? And Mordecai explains to one of the king's eunuchs, to Esther, what has been done. And he told him that Haman was willing to put money into the treasures to see this through. Then he says to Hattach, give this copy of writing which the king has said and give it to Esther. Let her see what's happening. What are we going to do about it? Then Mordecai says to Hattach, what you need to go and tell her is, you need to go and tell her to go to the king and make supplication for the people. And Esther was well aware of the next steps that she had to take. Esther told them that if I walk into the king's palace unannounced, I could be killed. What am I going to do? She said, if I walk in unannounced, I don't know how this king is going to react to me. And then Mordecai says these words to Esther in verse 13. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You will read in the book of Esther, and you will never hear the word of God or God's name mentioned in the whole story. His fingerprints is all over it. Right people, right time, right place. My message today is this: staying faithful when under pressure. You could be called for a time today and be in a place for such a time as this. God could be placing you in a place this year that you're not aware of, where you have to be there for such a time as this. And Esther, the orphan girl, come from very little, here she was now, the queen, and she had to make a decision to save a nation. Esther says to Hattach in verse 15, she goes on to 16, and she says, tell Mordecai to tell my people to pray and fast and trust God. First of all, that I'm going to get into the palace and see the king. Big ask. Never happened before. Never was done before. But what she's saying is, she's staying faithful. When she was under pressure, she could have copped out. She could have hid the fact she was a Jew. I'm now royalty. Sure, who would want to touch me? I'm the royalty now. She loved her people. She loved her identity. And Esther was brought to a place for this moment in time to save a nation. Esther 5, verse 1. Doing all right, fully and okay. Amen. Now it came to pass in the third day that Esther put on the royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon the royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house.
Esther starts her walk to the king. Remember, uninvited to the court, you can be killed by the guards.
I want to take you to the Shushan Palace for 2 minutes. I want you to think about this. The word of God makes it so clear and shows us what Esther done. She puts on the royal robes. She shows her identity of who she is. And she starts walking towards the king. All the guards standing, swords in hand, daggers at the waist, and Esther makes her way to the king. And the guards are looking, who's this? But they identify her by wearing the royal robes. And she walks right up to the king, and the king looks around. How you doing, Esther? He reaches out the scepter. That's him saying, how are you? And Esther touches it. I know who you are. That was good news for Esther. Esther's going to live. Friends in church this morning, when we come to worship the living God today, we put on the robes of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, that gives us access to the King of Kings. What a beautiful picture. And the Old Testament, the robes that allowed her to get to the king. And when we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we have access to the living God, the Holy One of Israel. This was a big moment for Esther. And the king says, now you're here, what's the problem? He says, I'd like a meeting with you. And bring that boy Haman with you as well. I'd like to chat to him as well. And so this meeting takes place. And there's things that we have to learn and put together sometimes, because first of all, Esther, she was under pressure. But she'd done something that maybe you and me wouldn't do. She waited to see the lay of the land. I'm now doing coffee with these two boys. I never thought I would get here, but she got the lay of the land to see what was going to happen, how they would react with her requests. Esther then says, well, do meeting too. And Haman, at this stage in his life, he thought he had hit the big time. He goes back to his wife and tells her, I'm now prime minister. I'm now dining with the king. I'm dining with the queen. And not only that, we're having another meeting soon. But you see that Mordecai boy. See, this is all it would just eat Haman. You see that Mordecai boy. I'm going to finish this guy off. And his wife says, why don't you build a big gallows 50 cubits high? Hang him on it. Good idea. And while this was all taking place, and it did take place, when we get to chapter 6, the king, he couldn't sleep. Sleep left him. And he asked for the chronicles to be brought to him. And he reads that Mordecai had saved his life. And so he did. It's recorded in Esther 2, verses 21 to 23. And he asks, has anything been done to show what Mordecai has done for me? Nothing been done for this man. Nothing. And while the king was reading this, Haman come trumping through the courts. He come running in. He thought he was coming to the king to tell him, get this big gallows built and take this boy Mordecai out first and show all these people what we're going to do with the Jews. And the king turns around and says, is that you, Haman? Oh, it's me, your majesty. And the king asks him a question. He asks him this question. If I wanted to reward some person and to show him that I thought a lot of him and reward him for his good gestures to me, what would you do with him? Haman thought he was talking about him. Know what I would do? He says, I put the best royal robes on him. Get the best horse. put the crown on his head, walk him through the town and get all the honor and glory from all the people in the city. That's a great idea, says Haman. Go and fetch Mordecai. Clothe him in the robes, put the crown on him, and put him on the horse. What a sick feeling that was that day for Haman. Can you see Mordecai on the horse? All right, Robert. How you doing? He milked it. Took it all through the city. Things change when God puts the right people in the place at the right time. We are now in meeting 2 in chapter 7. So the king and Haman come to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said to Esther, what's your real reason for having these meetings? And she says, well, your majesty, my background, I'm a Jew by birth. And you confirmed and sent a decree out to all the provinces that all the Jews should be killed. That includes me. Who would ever devise and make a thing like this? And Esther just looks over, see this man sitting at the table, Haman. And the king gets up, walks away, and Haman feared for his life. And while the king was out, Haman comes to the side of the bed where Esther was sitting and pleads for his life. And just at that instant, the king comes in. And he says, would you challenge and harm my wife in my own house? He gets him removed out of the palace. And he hangs him in the same gallows that he was going to hang Haman on. You see in this particular situation here in this story, number one, Haman commanded that the gallows would be built. He was the enemy of the righteous. The tables turned on him and he died in the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Satan himself thought when he got to Calvary, when the cross was created to kill the Son of God, that it was over. But Jesus Christ cried on the cross, it is finished. But 3 days later, hallelujah, 3 days later, he rose from the grave and he defeated death and he defeated hell and he lives in the power of an endless life. And he will save anyone, whosoever, that will come and call upon his name, repent of their sin, and trust him. The tables were turned on the enemy. We're getting there. Chapter 8. The king takes off his ring of his finger that was on Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. And the king held out his golden scepter towards Esther, and Esther rose and stood before the king. And Esther pleads, reverse the letters. Let my people live. This is what Esther wanted. She was staying faithful. She was under pressure. The whole nation was now in her hands. And the king reversed the decree. They sent word out to all the Jews in the province. He says, stand and fight for your life if anybody comes to kill you. Stand and fight for your life at any cost. You've got my blessing. There were two queens in this story of Esther. The first queen refused to step up when she was asked. And she lost everything. The second queen stood up. She gained everything. We're into the new year, 2026. And life is tough. Someday, you and me, this year, are going to be asked to step up from our under pressure. That day is going to come for us. And the key is staying faithful when you're under pressure. Unsaved person, you may be in this church building this morning, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's one day you'll have to make that decision to step up and call upon His name for His salvation. If you don't, you'll be lost in a Christless eternity forever. Them's not my words. These are the words of the living God. There's many people in this room today. We all remember the day we stepped up and called upon the name of Jesus for our salvation. We had all the nervous things, all the questions, we had them all. But remember the power and love of the Holy Spirit when we heard the Word of God preached. That God loved us. And He made a way back to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. There will be a day that we come. In 2026, where we have to step up. What an example this young girl was to us, church. She stayed faithful. And she trusted God. And she stayed faithful at any cost. She put her life on the line to save her people. Every time I get into this book and read it, I find so many different things. I always read it, I always lift it and read it many a time. But the key thing here that Esther done was, when she was under pressure, she put her faith into action. Standing still and thinking about it changes nothing. You've got to put your faith into action and watch the power of God work. God bless you, church.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.